systems in the same school, but so far it seems like no real explanation. What factors have the state health department ruled out?
Well, they're looking for commonalities between all these girls. We know they went go to the same school, but they're in different grades. They're not necessarily friends with each other. They don't all participate in the same activities. So, you know, those commonalities really weren't there as a starting point. Then they start looking at things that the girls may have been exposed to, you know, air quality, for example, some sort of environmental exposure. And again, they brought people in who were independent to the school to test. They didn't find anything that could cause these sorts of symptoms. Then they also look at things like medicines, including vaccines, the Gardasil vaccine, and again said that wasn't a causative factor. So, you know, they start to tick off the list, and in the end, the answer may be sort of not knowable for sure. They just don't have a definitive answer ever.
How do they know that the Gardasil vaccine is not at the root of this?
Well, simply because not all the girls got the Gardasil vaccine. And this was a, you know, prominent theory. A lot of people saying, look, Gardasil could have caused side effects like this. And this is something they explored. But simply, Anderson, there are girls who have these symptoms who did not get the vaccine.
There have also been reports that the girls are being treated for stress. And health officials told us their symptoms are getting better. Can stress, though, cause these kind of symptoms?
There's a specific sort of pattern of diagnosis in this situation. They look to see, does someone exhibit the specific symptoms, tick-like symptoms in this case? Did these symptoms perhaps, were they preceded by stress? If you take away the stress, do the symptoms seem to get better? But mainly, I'll tell you, Anderson, in medicine, we call it a diagnosis of exclusion, meaning that after you've ruled out everything else, you're sort of left with this is the probable answer.
I've also seen this being referred to as mass hysteria. Is it possible they're faking it, or is it possible this is some sort of, I mean, what does that mean, mass hysteria?
You know, when they talk about mass hysteria, it's sort of a more lay term. You know, people refer to a mass psychosis as well. What I will tell you, though, and this is important, is that there are very good ways to determine if someone is faking something. You know, I think that's going to be the conclusion a lot of people jump to when they watch this. There's good ways to figure out if someone's faking it. In this case, they say they are not faking it. I mean, the girls really experience this, and we're getting to the point now, Anderson, I find this fascinating, that in the brain, you could see some changes as a result of this that you can measure. They don't do this, widespread yet, but this is something that's coming down the pike.
How severe are the symptoms? Do we know? I mean, when I think of Tourette's, I think of stuff from movies of people yelling obscenities or having tics.
Well, no. I mean, you know, these types of tics, I mean, they can be quite significant. And some of the girls have talked about it quite openly. And it's shocking, I think, a little bit, at least startling to watch them. But I will tell you, you know, observing and hearing about these girls, you see sort of a wide range. And, you know, so some have much more severe symptoms than the other, where they're literally having uncontrollable body movements and involuntary, they utter involuntary words. But others have much more mild symptoms. And, you know, I wonder as well, Anderson, if there's people at the very low end of the spectrum in the school, if you really started to examine all the girls, if girls have really mild symptoms that they haven't told anyone about. So it could be a little bit further ranging than just this dozen or so girls.